always so thirsty Sunday mornings. I don't know why. Is it the heat in here? I don't know. I just feel like I need a drink of water. It must be. It's got to be. Or is it age? I don't know. I don't know. Well, good morning, family. It's really good to be with you. I really am enjoying my time just being with you and celebrating Christ together. It is such a good thing to do, isn't it? The church looks nice. Thank you to those who decorated it. I love the nativity scene there and the Christmas tree, all these Christian ideas, right? All these Christian traditions, all these Christian celebrations are important to celebrate. That we don't say happy holidays, we say Merry Christmas. Yes, this is about Jesus. And so it's the start of Advent season. And I like celebrating Advent. I like to take the time to do this because what happened at this time of year, what we celebrate, as I've said earlier, it was the greatest thing that earth has ever witnessed. It's the greatest thing that this world has ever witnessed. That God, who had everything, became a man. I just want to read from you. I don't have this one, Amber. This is just I told you I wouldn't have everything. The Lord will always give me some other things, but I wanted to read to you this morning just this reminder of this hope that we have. This is the candle of hope, the first Advent candle, first Advent Sunday. And listen to what Paul says. He's writing to the people in Philippi, the Philippians. And in Philippians 2, I'll start at verse 5. This is what Paul says. In your relationships with one another, have the same attitude of mind Christ Jesus had, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, Jesus made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, I love that word, something good's coming. Therefore, God exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at his name, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God, his Father. Aren't we grateful for that? He had everything. And it said he took the very nature of a servant. He said, I haven't come to be served. I have come to serve you and give my life as a ransom for many, for all those who will accept it. The word Advent actually means arrival, if you didn't know. That's what the word Advent. Advent season, it means arrival. Well, the arrival of what? The arrival of Jesus. That's why we celebrate Advent season. We're celebrating the arrival of Jesus. And we're going to celebrate that. We're going to talk about the arrival of Jesus through the next 4 Sundays. So today, December 1st, we're going to talk about hope, right? The hope that we have in him, the hope that he brought with him to planet Earth. And then December 8th, the next one, we're going to talk about peace, the peace that he brought, right? Goodwill and peace towards men, through all men, right? So we'll talk about peace. And then December 15th, we'll talk about joy. The joy that we have because of what he brought and what he did and what he continues to do. And on the 22nd, we'll talk about love, the last one, right? Love. And so we'll do a 4-week season celebrating and remembering the arrival of Jesus to earth. Again, that's what Advent means. It means arrival, the arrival of Jesus. And I kind of like this. I like how we do Advent in the church. It's a simple and fun tradition of celebrating and counting down to Christmas, isn't it? I've always looked forward to it. I like doing it every year because it's a wonderful thing to celebrate. And everybody, most people anyway, really love Christmas time. And so it's a good way to start the countdown to Christmas, celebrating the arrival of Jesus. Some traditions, they on the first two Sundays, they focus on remembering Jesus' promises to his return and his renewal, heaven and earth. And then on the last two Sundays of Advent, they'll focus on the birth of Jesus. But many other traditions, particularly Protestants, more reflect on those four things: hope, peace, joy, and love. One for each of the four Sundays leading up to Christmas, which is what we will be doing. So PCC will be using the Advent candles, and we'll have readings. So if I call you, please answer, because I might ask you to do a reading for one of the Advent Sundays. Jeremy and Slynn, are you next Sunday? You already put your hand up. Great. Thank you for volunteering. All right. So we're going to do that. That's the way we're going to celebrate the arrival of Jesus to earth over the next few Sundays. It's kind of fun, too, because we have different Christian traditions, right? We have Roman Catholic, Protestants, Orthodox. There's many other Christian traditions, but everybody, all those come together, and it's something that we do in common, celebrating Advent season. And I kind of like the unity in that. I really like the unity in that, coming to celebrate the Messiah, the coming Christ, the Christ that was to come. And isn't that something that we should celebrate, right? It's something that we should celebrate, because without that, we have no hope, do we? If he didn't come, if he didn't give up all that he had, can you imagine? You know, you have all knowledge. You have all the wisdom. You can be everywhere at once. You're all powerful, right? And you give all that up. And if he didn't do that, if he didn't make that great sacrifice to become a human, to become nothing, as it says in Philippians, as Paul said it, then we are hopeless. We are left hopeless on the earth. We are left powerless to overcome the things in our life. We will have to settle for anxiety and depression and worry and fear, right? Because we have nothing to help us overcome all those things. So it is something that we should pause and take time to celebrate. It is a good thing. First Sunday is Hope Today. And the word in Hebrew is yachal. Okay, say it with me. 1, 2, 3. Yachal. Okay, I got to hear you. 1, 2, 3. Yachal. That is the Hebrew word for hope, meaning to wait for. Yachal, to wait for. It is used in the Old Testament as you read. There's another Hebrew word also called kava. Say it with me. Kava. Okay, one more time. Kava. Kava. That's another Hebrew word, and that also means to wait. One's to wait for, and one's to wait. They're very similar words for the word hope in the Old Testament. And it's about waiting or expectation. Expectation or waiting. In the book of Psalms, you'll see that word kava used many, 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 many times throughout the book of Psalms. And the psalmist, he uses that word saying, we're waiting for God. God, we're waiting for you. We need you. We're expecting you. Without you, we have no hope whatsoever. It's a hope in a future that is better than my present. Right? That's what we're hoping for. It's a hope in a future that is better than even my present circumstances. It's a great expectation. It's a great anticipation of something awesome to come, right? It's something amazing and awesome to come. Biblical hope is actually based on a person, isn't it? Right? When you read in the Bible, biblical hope is based on a person, which is different from the word optimism, right? Right? Biblical hope and optimism, the way the world uses optimism anyway, I guess it depends how you define it, but the traditional definition of optimism is based on circumstance which could possibly work out for the best. right? That's what optimism means. Well, it's kind of a hope of uncertainty, right? But optimism is based on circumstance which could possibly work out for the best. In the Bible, hope is used in a way that it doesn't know if things will get better. There's no evidence for sure or not, but we choose hope in the Lord anyway. But we choose hope in the Lord anyway. God didn't allow us to know our futures, did he? Right? He didn't allow us to know our futures. So in the Bible, that hope, that word hope, it doesn't necessarily know if things are going to get better or not. There's no present evidence it will, but we choose to hope in the Lord anyway. Right? Amen? That's the difference between how the Bible uses the word hope and how the world uses the word hope. Right? In the world, hope is used as an uncertain thing. I'm not sure. Right? I toss up a prayer. Well, I hope it happens. Right? I'm not sure. Right? But in the Bible, that word hope is defined as a certain hope. It's a hope of certainty. It will come to pass. It will be, it will have fruition. Right? It is a hope that is sure to come. It's different from how we use hope in the world. Well, I hope it happens. Well, I hope I get this. Well, I hope I get that. But the word in the Bible, hope, is a hope of certainty. It is a hope that will pass. We choose hope in the Lord. It's like the prophet Hosea. Anybody read the book of Hosea? Michael Card wrote a song about Hosea, right? And it was from Gomer, who was supposed to be his wife. And the song goes, Hosea, you're a fool. You're a fool to love someone like me. I, the wife of adultery, Gomer is my name. And that story of Hosea is beautiful. Hosea lived in a dark time. He lived in a dark time when the people were being oppressed by foreign empires. They're being heavily oppressed by foreign empires. But Hosea, he chose hope. He chose Yahal, right? He chose hope. Like when he said, God could take this valley of trouble and put it into a door of hope, a door of Yahal, like when the Lord brought his people out of slavery in Egypt. Right? Isn't that what our God can do? He can take something that's dark and turn it into light. Right? The light of the world who shines upon us. It's the whole story of hope as you read in the book of Hosea. If you haven't read it, I encourage you to. There was hope. The Lord did bring his people out of slavery in Egypt. And he gave his people redemption. Amen? Right? Redemption means I need to be redeemed from something. I'm hoping that God will redeem me from something, from myself. Redeem me from myself, even. Hope in Christ is a rescue from evil and death. Right? That's what we're hoping for. Hope is also a choice to wait for God to bring about a future with him. It's a waiting upon the Lord. They that wait upon the Lord shall what? Shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up on wings as eagles. And do you see an eagle doing this? Right? If I got an airplane and I started doing that, what would people think? Great. Well, what are you doing? I'm trying to keep the plane afloat. I got to work. I got to flap my wings. No, it would look pretty funny, wouldn't it? I actually did it one time, and people did think I was crazy. What does an eagle do? It soars, right? It rides upon the currents that are already there that was provided for it. The work was done. All it has to do is rest on those air currents, and it soars. They that, what? Wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, and they shall mount up on wings as eagles do. Amen. Hope is a choice to wait for God to bring about a future with him. It isn't optimism based on the odds, right? It's not optimism based on the odds. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know God's will for my life. I don't know if he's going to heal me. I don't know if he's going to answer my prayer. But what I do know, that his will always be done. Because whatever God wills will come to fruition. Right? I was in South America, and I asked the people, I said, is it God's will that everybody comes to know Christ? And people are like, see, and I said, no, it is not the will of God, but it is the will of God that everybody gets to choose, right? He desires all to come to know him, it says, but he doesn't will it, because then it takes away choice. And if God is love, then love has to give choice, right? So what God wills will always come to pass, right? That we can count on, but I don't know. So my prayers have shortened quite a bit over the years. I used to have very, very lengthy prayers for hours and hours. And now I mostly wake up and I say, God, I think I know what I need today, but I know you know exactly what I need today. So Lord, my prayer today is, thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want your will for me, because you see my beginning and my end. I don't. And because you see my beginning and my end, you know how everything fits in between. So I'm left to yakal with the Lord. Right? I'm left to hope in him. Not a hope of uncertainty, but a hope of certainty. It's a hope of certainty that I'm going to trust you. I don't know how it's going to end, Lord. I don't know what's going to happen, but I still am going to choose you anyway. Remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Right? To bed we go, right? And those three guys, they were told, you cannot worship your God. There's only one, right? And God's not it. Yahweh is not it. And they said, we're going to bow anyway. We're going to pray. And they got caught. And they were going to get thrown into this fiery furnace, right? At a temperature of how many Kelvin, I don't even know. But it was hot, right? It was really, really hot. H-A-W-T, hot, right? And they're going to burn. And they're about to throw in. And how do you think Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were feeling about this? Oh, great, we get to burn at a certain temperature for the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, they're probably a little concerned of how that's going to feel, right? And they're praying and asking God to show up. But it said, but Lord, even if you don't show, we still choose to believe. We still yachal. We still hope. We still wait. We still expect. Expect on the Lord. Amen? Amen? That's the word hope that we use as a believer. Not as the world uses the word hope. I don't know. And we could say that, well, Lord, I don't know, but I know you know. And because you know, I take great rest in that. If it's my time, then it's my time. If it's not, then it's not. Amen? We put our hope in a faithful and loving God. So we better work that out. If you don't believe he's faithful and loving and gentle and kind, then that's not going to help you very much. You will have to work that through. I had to. I took a few years to work that through. I think I told that story to some of you when I was pastoring, and everybody was sick. Everybody was dying of cancer, and I just said, God, you're mean. You're a mean, mean, mean God. You're so cruel. And then I remember thinking, man, when's my time coming? And I started to fear, because where were my eyes? They were on me, right? They weren't on him. I'm not a solid rock, but the Lord is, right? As we read, the rock. Right? In whom I take my strength. Hope is a choice to wait for God to bring about a future with him. It isn't optimism based on the odds. So imagine the anticipation of waiting for the promised anointed king who is to deliver the Israelites. So just picture this for me, if you could, just for a second. Picture this. The long-awaited Messiah that was prophesied about. Israel went through so much. They were constantly ruled by others around them. They were constantly at war. People wanted to battle them, defeat them. They were oppressed. They were enslaved. They were exiled. They were beaten and defeated time and time again. And then in the good times, they would forget about their God and walk away from him. Right? I mean, it's not the greatest history, right? As we read in the Old Testament, read through Judges. And he was not good in the sight of the Lord, and he was evil in the sight of the Lord. Oh, there's a good one. There's a good one every now and then, you know? And it's this ugly history. And so they know they need a Savior. They know they need something different. They need something better than what they are currently and presently going through. And so they're waiting. So imagine this. For us today, we've been living in it. We're living in the greatest days that earth has ever been because Christ has come. And not only does he come, right, he could come on you in the old covenant, but he couldn't come in you. And if he could come on you, he could come off you. Remember the story of Samson? Came on him, but came off of him. But now we get him in us. And the prophets and the priests of old long to live in the days that we are currently living in. So imagine the in anticipation. They knew their history. The Israelites knew. They knew how horrible it was, how oppressed they were, exiled, beaten, defeated. Where is the victory? We have a coming Messiah who is to come. And Amos talked about it in Amos chapter 9, verses 11 to 13. Good luck finding Amos in the Bible. I use my ribbon, right? So Amos, let me explain who he was. He's one of the prophets, right? In Bible college, he was called one of the minor prophets. Not that he was minor, but his book is a little shorter than the major ones like Jeremiah and Isaiah. And Amos was a shepherd. He was a shepherd of a place called Tekoa. And he had a vision concerning Israel 2 years before this big earthquake that happened. So let me skip ahead to chapter 9, and here's what it says. I'll just read it to you. Did I give you that one? I couldn't remember. All right. So here's what it says. Here's what Amos says. In that day, I will restore David's fallen shelter. I will repair its broken walls and restore its ruins and will rebuild it as it used to be so that they may possess the remnant of Edom and all the nations that bear my name, declares the Lord, who will do these things. So they would read that and imagine, okay, there's hope for us, right? There's Yichal, right? There is hope for us. There's something that's happening. The prophets wrote about it. Let me flip over to Micah. Chapter 5, verse 2. I have a friend named Micah. He always would get upset when I couldn't find his book. I said, Micah, yours is so short too. Okay, Micah chapter 5. Here's what it says in verse 2. Oh, I do have that one. Okay. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times. Right? So there's hope. There's a hope of something coming. Though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. Who is that? Say it again. One more time. Jesus, right? We have hope. There's Yahal, but we have to wait upon the Lord, right? We don't know when it's coming, but there is hope for our people. There is hope. There's Yahal for our people. A day is coming. Now, you know what I love? God didn't choose one of the greater tribes, one of the larger tribes, right? He chose the lesser. You know, in a lesser day, because Jesus hadn't come yet, God used great men, these prophets, these judges, these kings, right? But now in the greatest days, which we're living in because Jesus has come, God uses the lesser man. He uses the weak, right? Come unto me, all you who are strong. No, come unto me, all you who are weak. I am a weak man. who believes in a great God. Right? He works through the weak. And I love that he did this. Right? In The Chosen, I love it because this one guy's joking around. He says, could anything good come out of Nazareth? Right? Nazareth must have been like the scum of the earth, right? Can anything good? But where did God choose for Jesus to come out of? Nazareth. In Bethlehem, this small little place in the middle of nowhere, right? It's what we would call Timbuktu today. Right? Middle of nowhere. And God chooses the lesser. So if you're feeling lesser today, praise the Lord, because God works through the weak, right? Come unto me, all who are weak, right? Remember, Paul pleaded with God three times he pleaded with him, please take this thorn out of my flesh. And what did God say to him? Paul, don't worry, my grace is sufficient for you. In all of your weakness, I know the thorns that you have. I know the issues of. I know your shortcomings. I know your weaknesses. But my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is made perfect in your weakness. So I love that God chose, right? And even says, Mike even wrote it, though you are small, right? Though you are small among the clans of Judah. But hey, out of you, though, will come for me one who will rule over all of Israel. Amen. Amen. I don't know about you, but that gives me hope. Let me read from Isaiah now. Listen to this. Here's what Isaiah says, verse 17. I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. I will put my trust in him. I know it's just a little verse in the middle of nowhere of all of this, but I really like that. I will yahal. I will wait. It's been suffering. It's been hurt. It's been oppression. It's been bad. But I will wait for the Lord, who is hiding his face from the house of Jacob. I will still put my trust in him. We don't know. In biblical hope, in hope in Christ, we don't know if he'll answer the prayer that I have. But whether it is or not, I still choose to put my hope in the Lord. Amen? I still choose to put my hope in him. Brian and Elaine read from us from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 2. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light, and those living in the land of the deep darkness, a light has dawned. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and his peace, there will be no end. There will be no end to his government, and there will be no end to his peace, his reign, his peace. There will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. Don't you love those words? Forever. No end to his government. No end to his peace. No end to his reign. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. What he wills, does it come to plan? Yes, it does. He will accomplish this. And of course, what are the Israelites thinking? A military takeover. He talked about governments, right? It's a military. You're going to get rid of these Romans once and for all. The bad guy's going out. Right? But he didn't ride into Jerusalem on horses and chariots and an army, did he? He rode in on a donkey. Anybody work with donkeys? Mules? I heard they're stubborn. Stubborn as a? Yeah. And that's what Jesus rides in on, a lowly, humble donkey. And his crown was a crown of thorns. That's what he chose. He didn't choose riches. He chose to be a servant because that's how much he loves you and he loves me. Amen? It wasn't a military takeover, but it was a redemptive rescue from the sin, evil, and death that can so entangle us. Look at this in Acts 5. I don't know, did I give you this one? Oh, look at it. I even had Isaiah up there. Verse 31 says this: God exalted him to his own right hand as prince and savior, that he might bring Israel to repentance and forgive their sins. Amen. It is good news. It's a redemptive rescue. So what does that mean for us today? John 1:14, one of my most awesome favorite verses to read at Christmas time. Let me read it for you. I'll be wrapping up in a few minutes, I promise, because we have communion today. Here's what it says. I want to read this to you in verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Don't you love that line? The Word, meaning who? Became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and the only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. The law will be fulfilled in him, and I'm now bringing a reign of grace and truth. Amen. Jeremiah 29:11. Who knows that verse? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans of a hope that is certain and a future that is laid out. Amen? Amen. There's that word, Yachal. Right? We have a hope in him. It is a certain hope. So fear not. Fear not, for the Lord has plans for you. I know it may not seem like it. It might be dim and dark in your life right now, but God has a plan. Will you trust him in the midst of whatever darkness you're experiencing today? For unto us a child is given that will bring a light that will make the darkness flee and shatter. We have a hope of certainty. Amen? Amen. It is something to celebrate. My goodness, time flies. Hey, you hungry? Yeah. I know. Maybe it should be 10 o'clock. Okay. Well, it's important. We want to take communion together. It is always the first Sunday of the month that we do this. He said, every time you get together, every time you remember me, as you do this, take part in this. So we do this once a month. And as we're doing communion today, I want you to think about this great hope that we have. I want you to think of all that Jesus gave up. Philippians 2, I started with it. All that he gave up, right? All that godliness. He had every attribute. He was God, and he made himself a human. He came to this earth to live the life we couldn't and die the death that we couldn't. Amen? Amen. All right. Here's what it says. For I received from the Lord what I am now passing on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he took bread and then he gave thanks. He broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And then in the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant. There's a new covenant. That means the old is gone, the new has come. A new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat the bread and drink this cup, you are proclaiming my death until I come for you. Amen. Amen. It's good news. It's good to remember, isn't it? We're remembering his birth and his death and his resurrection today. So, I'm going to ask that you come forward. Just start a line and let's, don't take it yet. We're going to partake together, okay? So come up and let's get his the bread, which represents his body, and the cup representing his blood. Okay, I'll get it after. It's okay, brother. There you go. Ooh, that was close. Steph. Sister. Awesome. Thanks, Jean. Lucky day. Donna. Yeah, sister. Yes, take the middle one. Hey, how you doing, brother? Awesome. Awesome. Thanks, sister. Brother. Thanks, Jeremy. Amber, thank you. Atta boy. Thanks, brother. Hey, brother. Hey, thank you. Hey, Tim. Good to see you, man. Good to see you.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you, brother. Cindy, last one's for you. You're all getting this. Okay. Right. This piece of bread represents his body that was broken for us. Do it in remembrance of him. Let's partake together. And what does the cup represent? His blood. What does blood represent? Life, right? Without blood, we have no life. His blood now runs through our veins, giving us life, giving us victory, giving us a certain hope, right? Over our daily troubles in this world. So let's raise our glasses to him and partake together. Father, we're grateful. Jesus, thank you for choosing the cross. It was a choice because of your great love for each one of us, God. I don't want to take that for granted today. None of us do, Lord. We want to show our gratitude, Lord, for all that you've done. But the best we have in our English language is thank you. Thank you, God. That's what we have. Thank you for all that you've done. Thank you for coming to earth, God. For living the life that we couldn't. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. What a day that would have been. Even those magi who traveled across the earth, following the star and got to see the Messiah has come. There is hope for the world. Thank you, God, for being that hope for us today. We celebrate you. And we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. And God's children said, amen. Amen. All right. Have a wonderful week.